Welcome to the Where's the Finish podcast. We are three runners talking to our friends, sharing stories about running, training, life, and asking the essential question, where's the finish? WTF.
Welcome to the Where's the Finish podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Shay.
And tonight with us, we have our fantastic friend, Joe Joseph Fuller from Skunk Ape Races. Hey, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Woo.
Let's go.
As Kevin would say, let's go.
Yeah. Man, you know, we have talked about you or around you or mentioned your name, I think, in every single podcast.
Every episode.
So that tells us how much you mean to us and what you've been to our running journey. So thank you for allowing us to talk about you behind your back.
Yeah, it's always to be the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And yeah, more the ugly, but yeah, we still love you. Sure.
No, they're just fanboys.
We love Joe. You know, it was funny because I was a little bit of a fanboy. I thought it was when James Mathis started talking about the Skunk Ape Revenge and then the Skunk Ape Night Race. And you know, that was like my, outside of the Ragnar race that I had done in December, your race was my very first Florida trail race. I didn't count Ragnar, really didn't. It was kind of like a more of a drunken fest than anything.
Drunken chaos.
Yeah. And James was just talking you up all the time, talking about Joe and talking about your race. And then next thing I know, I'm doing the revenge.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, this is the second year you'd done the revenge race.
I think it was the second year.
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome to our podcast. Thanks for coming. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
So much.
Because we want everyone to know who this guy is we're talking about all the time. And so, Joe, can you kind of give us a little bit of history about yourself and your running and background and how you got to where you're doing what you're doing now?
I guess for just even getting into running, I'm kind of just the product of the school system. So I started running. Well, I sucked
that
at
that. Sounds bleak. That yeah, sounds like, so yeah. bleak. Like, the product of the school system.
Yeah. There were so many bullies, and he was running to the bathroom to get away from them. No more swirlies for Joe.
Feed you fucking gruel? God damn.
Well, a little more porridge, please. May I have a little more?
Well, I was like, I wasn't good at baseball, wasn't good at football. Was not good at basketball, soccer, or any of the other cool sports that people grow up doing. So the only sport I had left was running. I'm like, ah, crap, I guess I like the woods, so I'll come out and do cross country. Had a good middle school cross country, then jumped into high school, got to go to state, do all that fun stuff, and...
Wow, we're starting early, aren't we?
You just gotta open the can into it. It's a nice sound.
That's the,
nice
that, sound. That is the proper way. It's right into the microphone.
So was... either your parents involved in running in any way? I mean, did they kind of mentor you into it, or did you just do it all on your own?
No, not really. They just supported me when I was trying to go out and, you know, try to qualify for states and do all that stuff when I was growing up.
Cool.
That's awesome. That's admirable.
So, but you ran longer than just middle school.
Yeah, that's what actually brought me into Florida itself. I ended up running for St. Leo University, kind of near Dade City.
Oh, so where are you from originally?
Ohio. Oh. Yeah, the Buckeye State.
Why, did you leave Ohio?
It's cold.
Is it the Ohio State? Is that the proper way to say it?
I think it is the Ohio State, but... Okay.
The Ohio State.
It is.
I'd rather cheer for the Bearcats.
So your parents still live up there, right?
Yeah, they do, yep.
And they still support you with your running stuff now, I mean...
Yeah, they still, every Skunk Ape race, they come down and help volunteer. My dad and I mark the course, and then they're out there all weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So after middle school, you went into high school. You were running cross country there too?
Yeah, cross country and track.
And so how'd that lead to collegiate running?
When I was looking for colleges, I'm like, I don't know what to choose. So I figured I might as well choose somewhere that people would vacation. And then that kind of just made my list a little shorter. And then ultimately, you know, picked St. Leo. They're doing good in the conference. They're Division II. So I figured that'd be a good chance to try to get into nationals.
So how did you go from high school to college? I mean, did you apply for scholarships, or did you have to? I mean, how did that happen?
With D2, sometimes you're limited on scholarships, but I did get some. But I think just overall for me, where the program was headed, that was the right direction that, you know, kind of fit me well.
What'd you study?
So I came in for bio. And then realize I'm not smart enough for bio. So then I just got a classic business management degree.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you're also a veteran. You were in the military.
Yes.
So at what point did you decide to join the military?
After college, I was kind of looking for work, and you know, I was kind of floundering for a while. So I decided, you know, I kind of, for me to figure out what I wanted to do and kind of to set myself up for my future, I just figured, oh, I'll just join the Army, then I'll figure out what to do from there.
Oh, okay.
And first lieutenant, right?
Yep.
That tracks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I love it that you can do land nav, though.
I can do land nav, yeah. Yeah.
One of the only LTs in land that can do land nav in the entire Army.
Yeah, I took pride in my second LT, Butter Bar.
I love it. That's amazing.
I'm the only person who is not in the military who was in the military here, so I have no idea what y'all are talking about. I'm not a clue.
So it's a thing about, you know, the lieutenant getting lost. I mean, that's kind of, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It happens.
They usually do get lost.
Yeah, they usually do get lost. Okay.
Not Joe, though. Joe didn't get lost.
I took my time.
That's good.
Because I could at least run out to all the points, and then I just kind of walked back to the start.
So was running a part of your military career? I mean, besides your PT test, I mean, was you doing other things?
Back then, I was training with Pat Reagan. So I was putting in a lot of miles for my first and only marathon.
Oh, okay.
Nice. You only did one marathon?
Just one and done.
Which one did you do?
Yeah, me too.
Rock and Roll Savannah.
Okay.
Oh, what year was that?
That was... I have no idea.
Yeah, I actually was in Savannah for a roller derby thing years and years ago. And so I'm like looking out my Airbnb and there's all these cars and people everywhere. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And so there was the Rock and Roll Savannah Marathon was taking place that day that I had the day after my roller derby thing. And so I was like, what the hell are these idiots doing? This was way before running, obviously.
Hmm. This was after like the 100 mile and all that stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm going to do one marathon. I'm going to train for it, and that's it. Like,
what was your time? Done.
The A goal was to go, I think 2:48, and then I ended up going 2:46.
Nice, hell yeah!
What?
That is fast. Now was that a Boston qualifier?
Probably, I don't know.
Didn't even care.
I'm all about BBQ, not the BQ.
Hey.
I don't even think that race exists anymore. Is that correct? That race didn't they stop doing the rock and roll?
I have no idea.
Pretty sure.
I'm not big on the corporate type of races, but the course was pretty friendly for your first marathon.
You should do the Savannah Urban Ultra.
That one looks
cool.
That
is so fun. And actually, that's what really got me on like the Urban Ultra kind of thing, because I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And then I finally got to do it this last year, and it is so fun.
We my wife and I went and did the Volano Bridge 10K a couple weeks ago, and we ran into a runner there, and she immediately recognized us as ultra runners. I don't know why.
You got the look. You got the look. Bro.
So she came up and striked up a conversation with my wife, and they were chit-chatting, and she was telling us all about all the races that are in the Savannah area. And my wife and I got pretty excited, because I already knew like the Dark Anchor and some other races they have in that area. I'm like, we definitely need to get to Savannah and do some running.
It's beautiful up there.
You know, they have a lot to offer for races up that way.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Go for the 200 at Dark Anchor. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
The buckle's very pretty.
Hmm.
It is. But it's very cold.
It is a little cold.
Yeah, not too cold.
So, you know, obviously you've been running for a long time. You ran collegiately. You've done a marathon. You've done 100. You've done a lot of different stuff. So do you have any standout races or distances that you like, this is my best performance, or this was my funnest race, or the one that you kind of look back on?
I think there's a few. So like in college, it was probably my junior year for the NCAA Nationals. That one was cool. I think that was over in... No, it was sophomore year, because I was in Joplin, Missouri. That one's probably cool. The USA 30K Trail Champs, that one was cool. I think that was 2018, because that was my first like USATF podium.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which I knew for me, I don't have a pro schedule. So there's like 3 miles downhill, and I went like 15-something for 3 miles.
Ugh. Nice.
Like, oh, I don't care about my knees. That's fine.
Yeah, just blow them hammies out. Quads, hammies, whatever it is.
Blow them all.
Mm-hmm. Burn those bridges.
And then H9. Love H9. And long haul. Those two.
Let's talk about H9. So some people listening may not know what H9 is.
Yeah, so the H9 is in August. It's over at Vogel State Park. And it's hot. It's humid. And sometimes it'll rain on one section of the course. And the other, it won't rain.
That's in Georgia?
It's in Georgia, yeah. North Georgia. So you're going to get like 12,000 feet of climbing.
Mm. How many miles?
50-ish.
I think that's one that maybe yourself and Greg Lawson, another guy we run with, has told me about, kind of you know, when someone tries, like when Shay tries to push you into a mountain bike race and you say no, I think H9 was the one that you mentioned to me.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the one I should say no to, but it sounds like fun.
Well, how many years have you done it?
Two now.
Okay, so three more, and then you'll have your jacket.
I'll get the H9 jacket.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then again, you mentioned long haul. What you've done, you have a long history with long haul.
Yeah, I've been at long haul for 5 years. I've ran it. I finished it once, and now I've DNF'd the past 4 years. Or past four attempts.
I love that story. You know what? I will say, absolutely, it inspired me to do harder things when I heard that from you. So I am just new into trail running. I did my very first trail run in December of 22. In January of 23, Andy Matthews and Andrew Barrett had scheduled a fat ass run through the Santo section through Ocala here in at the Greenway, and you were supposed to show up. And I knew that you were coming. I had not met you. I had met you. I think I saw you at long haul, but I didn't know you. And again, we had James Mathis as a mutual friend, and I knew you were coming. And that was the very first time I met you. So you came out there, you hauled, but you were late getting there. That sounds like a very Joe Fuller thing to show up late, but then just blast. Oh,
no. All y'all were here early. You guys got to my house like an hour before I did.
Just because we told Joe Fuller that the podcast was starting at 3:30. Get here on time.
But you blast by everyone. But I remember eventually talking to you for a little while. I don't know, maybe it was a different run, but we got to chat for a while, and you told me about your DNF history with the long haul. And to me, as a new trail runner, thinking about, I hadn't even done ultra yet, and setting my sight at it allowed me to not be fearful of failure, to know that someone that I saw as an elite athlete in the trail running community in Florida, someone that was well known, that had done a lot of races, kept signing up and DNFing and was okay with it. For me, that was, it was very encouraging to me, and kind of allowed me to feel free to sign up for difficult things and not worry about failing.
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's just kind of just like, just go for it. I'm just going to send it.
Okay, but why have we not gone full send?
Well,
who do you need to bully you to actually go back out there?
I did finish it the first attempt, not my first 100 attempt. So my second 100-mile attempt, I did finish it.
It was 2019 you finished it.
Yes, and it rained like three different times.
It was so cold overnight. I volunteered that year.
Oh, it was horrible, but I finished that year. I think that's what I need. I think I need a horrible weather year.
What was last year? Last year fucking blowed.
I did really enjoy this, like the mud.
You had too much fun.
Big fan of the fun.
If it's fun, bad. It needs to be horrible. Okay. So the worse the race is, the higher your chance of finishing it.
That might be a kicker there.
I think we need it just to be nice and warm and sunny and no rain, no mud.
For 2025, it definitely has to be that way because I'm signed up.
I know,
for
me
it.
Too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great year. And it's only 15 minutes from my house.
Nice.
Even better.
No, awesome. That's bad. That's bad, because then you're like, oh, I'm 15 minutes from home. This is fine.
Yeah, but I really needed poles this year, and I texted Colleen, and I was like, hey, I need some poles, and she brought them over to the race. So
yeah, he had texted me, and I didn't have no cell phone signal. It's like I actually had some trekking poles where I was crewing Peter, who's another friend of ours that ran the long haul 100 this year, and I actually had some trekking poles, and I set them in the ground. Like poked them into the ground, set them right in front of the trail, so that when he ran by, if he needed them, they were sitting there. But he'd already gotten a pair.
That was a tricky thing. I'm like, well, I'm gonna just message like three different people. I don't know when this text is gonna make it to anyone. Yeah. And just hope for the best.
So yeah,
shotgunned it.
I did have some trekking poles. I did put them out for you. You know, during that run, I don't. Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe that wasn't that January, but it was another run we went through, and you were talking about this. All your 100 DNFs. Another thing you told me about, we talked about chafing.
Yeah, let's hear this. Let's hear this illustrious chafing story.
Which brings me back to H9, my first year. So running in Florida, you're really not getting that elevation. So the rub is a little different than when you're hitting the vert.
Yeah, I tell me more about this rub.
I want to hear about vertical. Yeah.
Yeah, vertical rub.
So I was
is that like an up and down rub motion?
I was going. Fantastic. More lube, the better.
So she said.
Yeah. And apparently, you used a lot of lube to fix this problem.
And that is the key, is a lot of lube, but not in the way you would normally think. So I was moving down this trail, and Jason Green, Yeti Trail Runners, he comes up behind me. He's like, dude, why are you walking so funny? And I'm like, man, you would never believe the chafing I got right now on my balls. I'm just raw sailing. I'm trying to adjust myself as much as I can for all the climbs.
Raw sailing. That's,
I mean, I'm just imagining his balls like a parachute, just stretched out, catching the wind and pulling you uphill.
Hey, if no one was around, you had to let him breathe. And he's like, hey, dude, there's only one thing you could do. It looked just straight. You got to put your balls in a sandwich bag. And I looked at
it's for a snack later.
Like, luckily at the aid station they had these they had Ziploc bags, but they had chips in it, so I had to inside out the chip bag.
The salty chips for your salty balls.
Yeah, basically. But what you're gonna have to do is so basically the maneuver here, if your balls are ever super chafed in an ultra, fill the bag with lube up around the thighs and just stick that over the boys. And you're ready to go because your short liner is going to hold it in place.
Wow.
But what about the rest of the bag? Is it not going to chafe the whole area around there?
Well, that's why you lube all the way around. Outside, inside.
Oh, man.
So when he was telling you this,
what kind of lube? What, dude? Was it just like a whole
squirrel's nut butter?
Vaseline? I have no idea. Whatever they had there.
Oh, man.
Was he being serious when he said this? Or did he just like, this would be a funny thing to tell someone and like joke around and do it? Or was it like a real thing? Like,
well, I don't know. Knowing Jason is 50-50, but I'll tell you what, I ran to the finish, so it worked.
Like, you guys check this shit out. I made him lube up his balls and put them in a sandwich bag.
Put them in a Ziploc.
And he did it.
It was golden. It worked.
But it worked.
It worked, absolutely.
Jeez, so immediate pain relief.
And I recommend that to anyone of the male gender of running.
Are you going to have sandwich bags at Skunk Cave?
I do have aquifer and squirrel's nut.
Right. Dude, he saved my butt. So there was a couple of us. He had some aquifer. What race was it? We did the 60K Revenge, and we got to one of the unstaffed aid stations, and I was starting to deal with a little leg chafe because I did not change my shorts or lube. I forgot to at the when I was turning around to go back out for my second 30K, and I got there and he had it was amazing. It saved my day.
Aquifer at every aid station, because hey, if you're like me, you're probably gonna need it.
Yeah. Wow. I would have never thought, you know, as a race director, that this is something to think about. I've got to put on my list.
I just want you to think about my balls, Joe.
I think about your balls all the time. I know. I think about your butt. You know, like, so we just was just talking about the fact that I had a race recently, and for some reason, Kevin likes to go out and go to the bathroom in the woods, but he never has paper.
Ever.
He just found out that after working all day at an aid station and going to the bathroom like a dozen times that without toilet paper, that in the tote that I sent out for the aid station,
there was a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah. Well, even if you run out of toilet paper, if you have those premium napkins, those work fine too.
He had paper towels too. I don't know why he was out there with paper towels and toilet paper wiping.
I felt more like a man that way.
Well, you definitely look like a man. Yeah.
Sacrifice.
You gotta use a rock. You know, that's one of the best things to wipe your butt with, smooth rock.
Well, you know, when I was in the Middle East, you know, I worked with prisoners in Kandahar, Afghanistan, right as the war was beginning after 9/11. And at each little holding cell with like 20 people in it had a bucket. And it was like a 3-gallon bucket, and that's what they went to the bathroom in. They didn't have toilet paper. They just picked up a round, smooth rock off the ground, wiped with it. Tucked it in the bucket and
washed it off and reused it?
No. They usually ended up throwing it in the bucket, and then we had the Canadians come around with the honey wagon. They would take they would carry the 3-gallon bucket to a 55-gallon drum and pour it in there, and then the Canadians would come with their honey wagon and, you know, this is what they emptied the porta potties with and suck it out.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that's honey.
That's definitely not honey.
Well, they're called the honey wagon.
I don't think that's honey.
They would get mad because they'd end up with rocks in their
shit.
Yeah. So I guess it apparently caused problems for equipment to have a rock in it.
Well,
it's fucking wild.
You're also using the proper squat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I need to get a squatty potty. You know, not only do I have a booty wash, but I need to get a squatty potty. You've seen the squatty potty, right?
I've heard squatty potties are great.
So the squatty potty is like you use a little
bench. Step stool, right?
Yeah, like you put it underneath your toilet. And so whenever you're sitting down, you can bring your knees up to your chest and you can evacuate your bowels a lot more efficiently.
Like you should be, in a squatting motion. Yeah,
the proper motion in the ocean.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah. So we need to have booty washers and squatty potties at all the races now.
I just want a urinal at my house. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
Just go outside your front door, bro.
Well, you know.
Go on. It's fine. Especially if you live in the right place, you can go out your back door. I mean, if I don't live somewhere where I can pee off my back porch, I'm living in the wrong place.
I don't have a back door.
I don't know. I think you do have a back door, but you just don't show it to everyone.
No. This got fucked up fast. All right, Joe. Yeah,
so let's go back to your balls.
That's where we were before we got distracted. Let's stop talking about buttholes and go back to balls.
That's it.
So you got solved. It fixed everything.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Has it happened again?
No. It was like a one-time thing in my life so far. But now I know what to do.
Now you know to lube.
Now, when you say your balls, was it like on the front of your balls, like your tank, Jesus like behind Christ. Your balls? I mean, like...
Full sidage.
Oh, on the side of your balls.
Full sidage.
Oh. Huh. Now, I've had the tip of my pecker. Like, you know, like...
Fuck.
Yeah. I'm just saying, when your shorts get wet, you know, I'm wondering, like a lubricated condom, would that work good?
Oh, fuck. Right.
Just got to lube just the tip.
Just the tip.
Something about wet shorts, you know, just kind of rubs like a windshield wiper, you know, and yes, it just wears it out. I mean,
I can't wait for my parents to listen to this.
Yeah. Oh, really? So sorry, guys. Sorry.
Sorry, Mom. You're dead.
Erase.
Delete.
No, never delete.
No, this podcast does not get edited. So
no, it's fine. It's too much.
You get the full frontal on this booger. When it
literally.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk more about Skunk Ape events.
So we were finishing up your kind of racing history, right? Mm-hmm. So what led you to develop Skunk Ape? I mean, what happened to make you want to be a race director, and how'd that happen?
I think for me, because in college, we'd always run out at the Green Swamp, and I enjoyed it. I always enjoyed the trails. So you never see anyone out there, like absolutely no one. I mean, hunting season's big. The horse people, there's a lot of horse people out there, but not like centaurs. Like they question.
I'm so glad you said it.
But it'd be equestrian.
Holy shit, there's fucking horse people? God damn.
But I loved it out there. I thought it was fun. I really enjoyed the trails, the wide variety that you have out there, and there was no one out there. So I figured I might as well just force people to come out.
So, yeah, like, I love this. You need to do it. If you create an event, somebody will come to it.
So you graduated from college, finished your time on active duty in the military, and then stayed in Dade City? Is that pretty much how that went?
Basically, in and out of Dade City.
Okay. And that's basically where you live now, right?
Yep.
Okay. So not far from where your race is at.
Which, yeah. Well, I was looking for a house. Wanted to be near the Green Swamp.
Oh, say, was that a contributing factor to why you picked where you live?
It might have been a secret decision.
Secret decision. Yeah. Uh-oh.
So your better half, the lady you live with, she did not know about this decision?
Well, it was either up by Croom or down by Green Swamp or somewhere close to run.
Yeah. When are we going to get her into running?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Well, you know, I think. Well, I'll just go ahead and say, Colleen, listen to this. You need to start running with us, girl.
Yes. Yeah, see, and a great thing is you don't have to worry about your balls because you have none.
So Colleen.
I'm sorry, ladies chafe too. Ladies chafe too. The stuff it can chafe. It's horrible.
Colleen is the most unofficial official part of the running community that I know. She's the only person I know that is so involved and doesn't actually run.
All the background work, from cutting stickers to getting things labeled and marked and ready.
She is your go-to gal.
Hours of late night.
You could not be a race director without Colleen and your parents.
Probably. I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I do so much.
So you ran out there a lot, and I guess you decided you wanted to show off the area?
Yeah, and I think the other part, I want it for my OG race, the night run, the Skunk Ape night run. That's my baby.
Is it your birthday?
It is. Well, originally it was in February.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know what? I want to have it on my birthday, a little birthday weekend kind of race. But I wanted that one to be like affordable to everyone. Because I know for me coming out of college, I couldn't afford a race. There's no way. Like, I can't afford $200-$300 for a race. So I was like, $15. And then I was listening to on a podcast about some race that they had a potluck. And I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect. Let's go $15 and a potluck. Because then you just have the community vibe. Then it's like, it's not a professional race. It's just kind of like a over-glorified long run.
Right. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, that one's fun. So I haven't run it yet. I do not plan to run it. I'll probably probably want to volunteer it this year again. Yeah.
You should run it.
More fun.
Yeah, kick it up a date station.
It's only 30K.
Yeah, I've already run that.
But she's ran. But she's ran the course.
Yeah, I've run the course twice. That's fine.
Fuck the berm. I'm sorry.
Hey, the berm is great. Yeah, berm is great. It's legendary. Fuck that berm. When I was running around, it took a long time to develop that, the loop that I liked. And I was just running, and if I hit that spot, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? This is absolutely horrible. Got to put it in the race.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be.
Well, and
here.
Then it gives everybody the enemy, right? You got to have the enemy that everybody's rooting. Like, they're like, oh, I freaking hate that berm.
It's good for the memes.
Yes, exactly.
It's for the memes.
Yeah. I heard about the berm before I ever ran the race, before I ever seemed to think about signing up. And our friend James Mathis, who always was running the aid station that.
Yeah, the berm.
At the berm,
yeah.
You know, before you go in and when you come out, he's like giving me some, you know, some fear about the berm. Just like, hey, don't worry about the berm, Joe. You know, it's you know, when you say don't worry about it, then automatically I'm going to worry about it. And so there was this allure, this whole secret kind of story that built up in my head and everyone else's that hadn't run your race about the berm, you know. And so it just built up a little bit of anxiety about what are we getting ready to get into.
It's always luck of the draw, too, because some years you're just bushwhacking through tall weeds and briars through there. Or they disc it up, and then it's absolute sand and misery.
Yeah. I think this year it was misery.
Fresh. Yeah.
This year it was freshly
plowed.
What?
I thought it was nice. I don't know what anybody was complaining about. That was great running.
Yeah, you're middle of the pack runner, so you're back of the pack runners are kind of behind you. But, you know, you had the front of the pack people that went and plowed a trail through it for
they
us.
They did.
That is true.
Yeah, I ran. There was no fucking trail when I ran through it.
So I was talking to my coach, Scott Hoover, who coaches me and Joe now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was the front of the pack, and he just talked about how miserable. Well, actually, he enjoys that soft stuff. He said he really likes it, but he talked about how much of that he had to run through, and how he was basically shoveling us out of trail. So,
ugh.
I didn't even go through it when I marked it. I walked on the tree line.
just to keep it fresh.
I got to keep it fresh. Even spider webs. When I mark my course,
you try to avoid.
There's no trail maintenance when I mark the course. I might fix things after, but to mark the course, no.
Gotta leave it.
Spider webs? No. I go underneath them.
So how did you progress then to the other races that you... So you do you... You're growing quickly. So now you're out to five races. So you have the Skunk Ape. Then you have the Skunk Ape Revenge. Is that the next one you did?
Which is like the double or nothing, I guess. It's like the sibling of the night run. So either you go 60K or you go 30K. Yeah.
But the problem is you offer it right at the start. You're like, and if you don't want to go back out, you can stop. And so everybody decides oh, okay, I'm done at 30K.
Yeah, the drop-down rate's pretty high.
Drop-down rate's insane. Yeah.
If you decide to do it once, and you're like, fuck this. All right, go talk to Justin.
Yeah.
Poor Justin. So I'm going to wrangle all these drop-downs.
So when did Wild Boar come about? How did that happen?
Wild Boar is on, you kind of start the same way as a night run, but then you're going out on just purely Florida Trail out and back. And for me, that's just one of my favorite long run routes.
Yeah.
Can we, next year, just food for thought, can we maybe get rid of some of the cactus on the edge of the trail?
Yeah, isn't that wild? There's cactuses out there.
Yeah, it is fucking wild. It went into my shin, bro.
Yeah.
I know all about how wild it is.
Oh, and it was really funny, too. So Susan and I were running the aid station at the turnaround at Wild Boar. And there was this hole. And so we put stuff around the hole so people would not step in the hole. After you come out of the little gate to where our aid station was. And so people would be looking at the stuff and then walk right into the hole. And we're like, there's a fucking hole here. We're trying to make you not walk right into the hole.
Well, you know, with his races, though, with the berm, for example, you know, knowing that it's there and knowing that it's tough and not knowing exactly how tough it's going to be and getting some scary pictures of it, you know, you build up. For me, I built up this story about what the berm was going to be. But it was the same thing with the Wild Boar. So coming in the Wild Boar, everyone started talking about this a mile long
of fucking water.
Of water. You know, yeah. It was waist deep. I was going to be swimming.
I think it was 50 feet.
Literally. Yeah,
the story grew.
Yeah, the story grew. When I was getting ready to run it, apparently it was a mile long and it was waist deep.
Both ways.
Yes. And when we get out there, it really wasn't that bad. It might have been 100 yards of I don't know, shin deep maybe. And you could skirt around parts of it. But you actually did have to get in the water and get wet.
Yeah, there's no way around it. Yeah, I tried when I marked the course.
Yeah, you had to go through the water.
Yeah.
But at least it was just a half marathon. I don't know, for some people, I don't want to say just because that's a long distance for some people. But at least it was a half marathon, not a 60K.
And it's perfectly right at the turnaround point too.
Yeah.
So it's like you get to run this whole half dry feet. And then the moment you turn around, oh no.
You're wet and all the way back.
All the way back wet.
So I don't know, maybe I'm the weirdo. I love a water crossing. Like gate to gate that you have to go into the water.
I fell down.
At gate to gate?
I fell down.
In the water?
In the water,
gate to gate. Like 1 year I did it. It was like almost like waist high during the preview run and then it got back down. But then yours, oh my gosh, it was so tall. It was so awesome of how much water was in there. It was so fun.
The race, every race that Kevin does, he's falling down. If he's running, he's falling.
That's true.
I mean, it's like that's how he runs so fast. He's perpetually falling. He's just trying to catch up with his falling body. It's like a permanent lean forward.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that. Yeah, but with the Skunk Ape Revenge and Night Run, that was the other thing. The first time I never did it, I knew there was a creek crossing.
Yeah.
Now, I went through the first time I ran that race, I went through the entire race waiting for this creek crossing and just worrying that, unless I'm going to hit it in the first quarter mile, yeah. I'm going to be wet feet for the rest of the way. I had no idea where the creek crossing was. No one told me.
Right.
And I ran that entire race worrying about that stupid creek. And then I find out it's at the last mile of the race.
I think it's almost
exactly a mile from the end.
It kicks off the last mile pretty much.
Yeah. And not bad at all. But really, I enjoyed it because at that point, my feet are burning from just the friction, and you get down that cold water.
The water is cold.
It feels so good.
Yeah,
I love it. I don't mind the squishy feet for the last mile because it feels great.
And then you get some briars.
Yeah.
Hey, so what's the deal with all the bones, the boneyard? What's that about?
So usually before the race weekend, there's always like a hunt schedule going on, and then there's like a pit where they just put all the carcasses.
There's a fucking shit ton of them.
Oh, it's awesome. So, of course, there's a bunch of like dead carcasses of animals on the course.
Yeah.
Running right through it.
Yeah. Well, I remember,
I felt like I'm Lion King.
Last year, he did this real fun thing. He tied a ribbon to like a rib cage.
Well, I mean, you got to be unprofessionally professional.
Good stuff.
Wow. So, your newest race after that was the Tampa Bay. So tell us about your, we're not calling that a race. We're calling it a tour.
It's a endurance tour of the Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So, so how did that come about?
The co-race director, Laura, she does like running tours with Go Running Tours Tampa.
And Laura Bradley?
Laura Bradley. Yep.
Okay. And how do you know Laura?
Just with running around, running the community and stuff like that.
Okay.
And she's always had that idea of putting on like all her tours in one big tour. And I thought, dude, that'd be kind of cool. Let's do it. So eventually, start in Ybor, work our way through Tampa. You go past the Buck Stadium, cross the court in Campbell, Safety Harbor, Dunedin, Clearwater, all the way down that, whatever the name of the road is, to all the little beaches like Bel Air and then
Mad Beach.
We call that shit road.
So there had to be a learning curve and some logistical challenges that you did not have from doing a looped course out in on the Skunk Ape versus doing an urban ultra 100-miler.
Yeah.
Urban ultra is stressful because you're like, is everybody lost? I have no idea. Did somebody get hit by a car? Yeah, get hit by a car.
Now, I think only like 3 people got lost, but anytime they called me, I'd just say, hey, look at the Cal Topo. Poke that little button, see where you're at. Okay, cool. There's you. There's the course. Just take that road.
Yeah.
Whatever road that is, you're on course now.
So was there any, did you have any apprehension or any concerns about going from, this style race to this other style race?
It's probably the professional of my races.
Gotcha.
So that's tight fan.
Yeah, it's a very nice race compared to the, hey, let's just go have a hoot and holler in the woods.
So
why is Tampa not the hoot and holler?
I don't know.
Am I wearing a bow tie? You mean to wear a bow tie?
I think I should wear a bow tie.
I think we should get matching bow ties.
That'd be funny.
Tux and
chicken. I'm not running.
Tux and tails.
Fuck.
Fucking penguin suit.
We could wear the top with the tails and chicken legs.
So
and fucking run in it.
Let's talk about this, Kevin.
Yeah.
So Kevin is now registered to do the Tampa Bay 100. How, Joe, can you tell us how that happened? I don't want to hear from Kevin's side. I want to hear how Kevin got into your race.
Oh, well, you know, I was looking at Ultra sign up and I saw Kevin is a Urban Ultra champion over here.
Gross.
So I've reached out to like the Charleston 100, Blackbeard's Revenge, a couple of these other like Urban Ultra kind of style races. And I'm like, you know what? Kevin, you want to come run?
You won the painted horse.
I did.
Urban Ultra.
The painted horse.
He won it by a while, too. Yeah, like okay. a long while.
I heard people thought you were just giving a tour and then you left them.
He did.
It was like a block.
We thought he was going to hang out with the group, have a nice little fun run. This thing's supposed to be like, you know,
I wanted to beat the rain. I did. And it never fucking rained.
We're supposed to be out looking for horses and having fun. And Kevin shows up and he's the only one that's decided this is a race.
It was go time.
Yeah, but you did wear a hard hat.
I did.
Probably should have worn that for the bike race. I
did. Oh, God.
I did wear a helmet for that. Can I wear a helmet? I should have wore like
football pads.
Football pads.
Yeah. That would have been very funny looking.
Hockey goalie. Yeah.
He would just ended up on the ground with football pads.
Yeah, that's still all that would happen. Broke. Still broke. Fuck. But no, I'm really excited to run this race. So
I'm excited to crew it.
Yeah.
So and not run it.
Be my first.
I will either crew, run, I don't know, pace. Yes. Uh-huh. I'm not racing it, or I'll come work at an aid station. I
need you to run with me, Joe.
Well, then I will pace you.
I'm going to need you at 2 a.m.
Okay. I'll be there at 2 a.m.
I'm going to be bad cop.
Okay.
You're going to want him there for like that the whole beach segment.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You're not really running on the beach. You're on the sidewalk. By
right.
The beach.
Yeah. Still. That whole mad beach where the worst part, of like some of those sections is that you're on sidewalk, right? Because you're, you know, you're being safe. You're on sidewalk, but then there's all the driveways. So your sidewalk, down a driveway, up a driveway, down a driveway, up a driveway. Oh my God. I got so sick of that.
I ran in the road.
You did. Yes.
I did.
But then I was like, abundance, like safety. I have to do safety. So I stayed on the sidewalk. And hated life.
Yeah, because I crewed you and Tiffany.
Yep.
So what's registration looking like for the Tampa 100 right now?
I think there's 11 spots left. 11 or 12 spots left.
And we don't have a... I mean, you're still months and months before...
Months and months away. And this year, which is nice, we'll have that track leaders. Basically, like Tahoe and a lot of those other big races, they'll have like those GPS little dots mm-hmm. for all the runners. And you can kind of just...
Blue dot watch. Yeah.
Blue dot watch.
So if you want to do the Tampa Bay 100, when this episode comes out... If you want to do it, you better sign up or you're going to be on a wait list and not guaranteed a spot. So we're selling this thing out before we get to the Skunk Ape 100, which brings us to your next big race, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the Skunk Ape 100.
Well, I think for one, you already kind of alluded to it earlier when you brought up, when I came out to that group run, I had never heard of the Greenway, never been there. And when I started running out there, I was like, holy shit, this is so nice out here.
And then I think all of us were like, yes, these are the best trails in Florida.
Yes.
You don't even know. Like, we are spoiled here.
Yeah, because I think I asked you, Joe, like, hey, are there any races out here? Like, what? Why is there only mountain bike?
Yeah, there was nothing. There was nothing in the Ocala area, period.
Yeah.
I mean, most years, like, it's only been in the last 3 years, there's been more than one trail, people running trail all the time out here, so...
Yeah, the trail running community and the ultra running community in Ocala was non-existent, you know, 3 or 4 years
ago. Well, about seven.
Yeah.
About seven.
But suddenly, the last 2 years, we have doubled probably every year the number of people participating in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I think there's like 11 runners from Ocala.
I believe that.
Registered for the race.
Bellevue and Silver Springs and like the surrounding area as well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you came out, there was no races, and you saw our trails. So that kind of inspired you to put on a race, huh?
Well, yeah, because for one, I love the fact that it does have that historical aspect to it, where there was going to be that big canal across Florida, which also brings some nice hills in that area.
Yeah, so they did some digging, especially where the trail race is going to be. So there's a little elevation versus from the coastline to that part of Florida where in order to build a canal to go across the state and carry ships and barges across it, they were going to have to build locks to bring ships up, to elevate them. And so they started the digging through that area to build the locks, and all the diggings and tailings and everything that came out of those. And you can look on Google Earth on that, and you can see these little square spots where these locks were going to go. Mm-hmm. All those big piles of dirt ended up being where the trail is at now. So the trail, the Florida Trail from the Western Corridor, comes across through that area, and
the Marjorie Harris car,
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and goes through there and follows the top of those tailings. So there's actually some elevation.
Yeah, some fun stuff that I think a lot of people are going to be like, wait a second, where am I again?
Well, I think it's,
and I say that even though it's like what, 1,000 feet over,
yeah.
20 now, miles, but it, still.
If you would blink your eyes, you would miss it. It's kind of like, you know, the one traffic light city, you know. But if you're on this trail over near Pruitt, is actually the most southern, highest switchback in the United States.
I was about to
eastern,
say that too.
Eastern United yes. States. Yeah. Eastern United States.
So, yeah.
It's a long title for this yeah. very obscure fact, but we do have the most southern, tallest or whatever switch.
And sometimes there's this little section, there's this little tiny spot in it where some people always put like garden gnomes in it. So like there's, and anybody who's going to run this trail, you'll notice like there's weird stuff that people put out. So you'll see this little really cool Buddha planter at one point. Some people put like little like gnomes in various little holes and mossy points.
Yeah.
So a lot of runners probably won't notice it, but all of us who run frequently, I've we seen know that. Where seen those it. Are.
Yeah. You know, those little little long hair gnomes, you know, little trolls. Yeah.
Troll dolls.
I've seen little troll dolls out
yes,
there.
Yes, there's little troll dolls out there.
I've seen.
You know what I've seen out there? Lots of fucking hogs.
Have there been hogs lately?
Yeah. Pruitt.
Tearing up the trail.
Between Pruitt Trailhead and Highway 200 is where the most of them
That's
are.
That's right.
At.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you can see a lot of rooting out there too.
They know the race is coming, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making it nice.
I found a lot of painted rocks out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least seven.
At least fucking seven.
Hopefully someone sees a bear. That'd be kind of cool.
There's a lot
I've
of
seen a bear. Bears.
A lot of bears out there. The bears are not, you know, they're not your typical angry bear. They're kind of like Yogi bears.
Yeah. Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. Can you like me to pick a Nick Bessie?
Yeah, they don't want to fuck with you, but they're pretty big. They're a lot bigger than I thought they were.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple sections where the bears are at. So all the places I've seen the bears are west of the Lamb mm-hmm. Ridge.
Yeah. I've never seen mm-hmm. them on this side of 75.
I haven't either.
But there's quite a few over there.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly near Ross Prairie.
Like seven.
Yeah. But I think they're regulars.
Mm-hmm. And coyotes out Ross Prairie. I think yeah. Susan just saw.
Yeah, coyotes. Susan saw a coyote who we run with Susan pretty regularly. And our friend Laura, who we run with, she saw a coyote out there in the past nice. Week or so. So there's been some coyotes out there.
Yeah, and Ross Prairie is going to be home to the berm 2.0. Double the fun, the distance of the night running revenge.
So people are going to hate or love you for this,
Jim. No, I already hate you for
it. This is the ass squad, right?
Yes, yes.
So ass, anti-sugar sand. This whole thing is sugar sand, right, Joe?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I've ran Ross Prairie. I've run all of the Greenway, but I had not run what the planned, I'm air quoting here, course is for Ross Prairie.
We can still make changes.
Well, more sand.
More sand.
So,
if we can get another truckload of sand, that'd be great.
So, I was talking with Joe pretty regularly when he was planning out the course for this to get 100 miles in. And we knew that it was short, a couple miles. It was like 22 miles from Santos to Pruitt, where the intended turnaround was. And so if you're doing that twice, that's, you know, I mean, that's 44 miles, you know, for the out and back. That means you need 6 miles to make it a 50 miler.
Yeah.
Can't you know what? So I've done from Santos to Pruitt a couple times because during COVID, I did a lot of virtual races, and that was I went there and back, and I realized where I got my extra miles from. I did from Landbridge. I did Blue Loop.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So that's where you can get extra miles. So that's how I ended up with a lot more miles than you guys were saying. Because I'm like, no, I've done 50 miles out there. How have you guys not got 50 miles there?
Yeah.
But it's because I did Blue Loop.
So the addition of a, on the outbound part of the course around Ross Prairie was added to make up those extra 6 miles. And Joe...
Six and a half.
Joe, with all of his infinite wisdom.
Bullshit. I'm going to call it bullshit.
You can see it from Google Maps.
He is a sadist. I love it.
I think you should run it.
Yeah. Well... Berm 2.0.
So we had been talking for the last couple, about a month. We tried to go out and do a preview of this course the day that Kevin broke his arm.
Yeah.
So he broke his shoulder. We were like a mile into it and turned around and came back and went and rescued him. So I needed to go back out and see this course. So I had a 6 mile run scheduled for Saturday. Actually, and I had an hour run scheduled for Saturday, and I thought it was going to be like a 4 mile loop. It was not. It was a 6.5 mile loop.
Yep. Yeah.
And I got back into the back end of that section of trail, and it's 5 miles of plowed berm.
Beautiful.
It is not, it's like the beach sugar sand. This is not the stuff that you see on the berm out at the Green Swamp. This stuff is like, nothing will ever grow in it.
This is Mikey B level of nonsense. I love it.
And when I was out there on these trails, my footprints were the only footprints. This was not even a horse trail. There's not been a horse out there. There's not been a person out there. The only thing besides me, I've seen a couple bear paw prints, but mostly turkey and deer.
The horses don't even want to go out
there. The horses don't even go out on this.
See, and that's actually kind of good, so the horse people don't get mad, because those centaurs, they get real pissed.
They're shooting their centaur bows at you.
Yep, exactly. Ferenz is like right behind you.
Can I ride one?
maybe.
Is this like a sex ride the centaur thing? Or is this like a nice centaur thing?
I want to ride it through the berm.
So the fans of the berm are going to like this, because it is twice the length of the berm, it is twice as much sand, and it's twice as deep, because when you get in this crap, you sink into it.
And that's right. Why it's 2.0.
I hate you, Joe.
And what's really going to be exciting about it is you're going to be close to 20 miles in when you do this.
After the hills.
After the hills.
Don't worry, Kevin's dropping up.
I just keeps looking better.
And if you're doing the 100 mile, guess what? You get to do it twice.
Well, you do have 36 hours to get it done.
Keep saying that.
Yes. You also have 36 hours for the 50 mile.
I might take all 36.
So after everybody cries a lot and maybe somebody changes the course, I'll do it next year.
Hey, you changing the course next year?
Oh, no. I'll be out of town this time, which is such a bummer, because it's like, you know, our home trails, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah, but you're going to Salton Sea.
Breaks my heart. Breaks my poor little heart.
So tell us about the aid station plan, how you got things laid out there.
So basically, a shit ton of snacks. We got Slim Jims, lube, you know, the basic.
That's my favorite snack.
I love that.
Lube. Grab and go snacks. What else have we got out there? Fruit, tons of fruit.
Nice.
I'm a big fan. Anything I do when I'm race directing is 100% my own bias. So if I like it, it's going out there. It's like strawberries and grapes. Big fan of strawberries and grapes. Going to have them at my aid station.
Yeah.
Bob's Pickle Pops?
Bob's Pickle Pops. Yeah. Yep. It's coming in the mail right now. They told me.
Goo?
Love it. Very happy.
There's goo. Tons of goo. There's some cliff, you know those cubes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think
the chomps or blocks?
The cliff blocks. That's it. Yep. Yeah. Those will be coming out for the overnight folks. We'll be adding those.
So what about hot food for the people who like real food and hot food? What are the options there?
We got instant mash. Yum.
Okay. Is there burgers? Is there going to be burgers?
Ramen, burgers, some dogs. You nice. Can't go wrong with some dogs.
Are they cold hot dogs?
Only if you put them in your pocket.
Pocket dogs.
Pocket dogs.
So and how many aid stations are there going to be?
There is six.
I think it's five.
Six fully.
If you count the hub.
I think it's the staffed spots. It's going to be like five.
Five
staffed aid stations, one unstaffed aid station. You have the hub for the 100 mile people, and then you've got two other water stops. Which is basically a cooler, toss some soda in there, toss some water in there, some goo, some liquid IV packets or whatever I have left over, and I'll just...
Yeah, someone had asked out on social media, you know, like, hey, you know, I need a crew, or do I need a crew for this? And my comment was like, there's going to be enough aid stations out there that you could do this uncrewed.
You could do this crewless pretty.
Do I need to pack? Can I just run with a handheld?
There is
depends on the temperature.
That's true.
Yeah, it's going to be a few sections where you might be about 10 miles between aid stations.
Yeah, I would say have a hydration pack, but okay. That's just race directing talking. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Susan's going to have her husband out there because she wants her race cheeseburgers. She likes all the cheeseburgers and the pizza, so she's looking forward to having Mark out there to bring her cheeseburgers.
Mark, I want you to bring me cheeseburgers.
So what's your take on your race? Because I don't think there's any – I didn't see any rules regarding it. Crewed, uncrewed, pacing, non-pacers. What's your deal with that for the runners?
For the 50-mile, I don't have any crew plans. Maybe next year we'll add that in. For the 100-mile, after 50 miles, you can grab crew.
Okay.
Pacers, you mean?
Or, sorry, pacers, yeah.
Okay, so can pacers. Everybody have crew?
Everybody can have crew.
Okay,
my bad.
Okay, it's just pacers.
But yep, the pacers, okay. Yeah.
But crew need to be familiar where the access points are and where they can crew the runners from, right?
Which, yeah, so on the CalTopo app, if you open up the map, on all of the little spots for the aid stations, I've got the addresses for everything, or like the Latin Lodge.
So gotcha. Are you going to publish an update on your CalTopo to make sure the latest and greatest is out there before the race? Or
race week.
Okay.
Don't download the GPX until race week.
Yeah, because there could be some finalizations and some changes that possibly could occur.
Yeah, because right the worry the is that people are going to park in like where they see the crossroads, where the trail crosses, and then you're going to have like calamity. So,
well, those are busy roads.
So yeah.
Yes.
Definitely want to be wary of the road crossings.
Yeah, for sure. There's a few road crossings, but most of them are pretty not too busy and accessible. True. The only one that has ever concerned me on this race is the Highway 200 crossroad. And that's not a place anyone should park. They've got signs out there, you know, and reflectors and stuff that says no parking. They put those up not that long ago recently. Mm-hmm. It's like a wall of these signs that say don't park here. And that's the busiest highway that you're going to be. Everything else is just like a little back road, basically.
And that's where the unmanned aid station is going to be. So
right there.
Still 10 by 10 tables, water, hydration, snacks, food, everything's still there.
Are we crossing at two different locations at 200?
No.
So we're
just
we're,
the one?
Just the one
just
spot.
The one. Okay.
So they're taking, you're going up to the paved trail.
So if anyone is familiar with the course, big section of the course is the Florida Trail, which you're going to follow the Florida Trail out. When you get to Ross Prairie, there is a blue connector trail to Ross Prairie to the to where were the aid
stations. Is it the green shared trail connector?
It's the blue trail that goes from Florida Trail to.
You're just getting back on it.
Yeah,
because what you're doing is when you get to the blue the first time, you're going left.
So
and you're looping around. And then you're coming back and then going back to the right.
So
and
anyway.
That is where we're going to have some updates.
Yeah, we're going to have.
Oh, okay.
The 10-mile section is going to be now a lot. It's going to be a lot shorter than 10 miles. So I'm swapping the direction of Ross Prairie. So you hit the aid station before you hit the berm 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you will run to the aid station from the connector.
Okay.
And then you'll go out and do that long ass loop around through the sand. And then you will finish out and be able to get back to the aid station at Highway 200 before you cross.
Okay. I was going to say, because going from Ross Prairie and then to the 200, I mean, that's like less than a mile.
It's
less than a mile.
It's like a little lollipop.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to go out from to Ross Prairie
to
the aid station, get your bib punch, and then do the nasty five miles of burn.
That's good.
Then over to the Highway 200.
That's 6.5 miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not
2.0.
So not all 6.5 miles of it is.
That's enough.
Is the sandy stuff.
It's fucking enough.
About 5 miles of it is the sand.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Bullshit.
No, in January.
It's fucking bullshit.
So you'll get to Highway 200 to the end of the paved.
Yes.
Path,
corridor, yeah.
And that's where the aid station will be at. You'll cross Highway 200, go to Pruitt, and come back.
You know, a lot of people are going to think, oh, I get to run paved back. That's going to be great. No, it's fucking not great. I just want to be clear on that.
I think it's great.
No, it's
Why?
Not. It's fucking hilly as shit.
Okay.
It's all uphill the entire way back.
But But
you're being very discouraging because I'm running this on Friday.
Oh, we'll have fucking fun.
I fucking will.
My thought is, so if I'm running it, you know, if I'm all trashed at this point, at least I can shuffle my feet and not worry about roots.
True. Power hiking, getting some.
Yeah.
Or for the fast guys, they could just open up. Fast guys and the ladies, they could just open up and
throw
take
a 6:30, throw a 7:30.
And what I like, what about Joe?
The fast ladies are doing opening up.
And what, a quarter mile?
Well,
6:30, quarter mile, maybe.
They could go.
I'm fucking slow. I'm going to die out here.
So one of the things I like that what he did about playing this course out is you get to see everything.
That is true.
You know, so it's not the entire paved path, but you get a good piece of it. So you mm-hmm. can see what the course is about. And so it does highlight the entire trail system. You'll get to see the Florida Trail. You get to see the Ross Prairie. You get to see the paved bike path. You get to see mm-hmm. the Lamb Bridge. I mean, you get to see it all. Yeah. And what better way to tour, you know, an area than to do this race.
Yeah, people are very lucky they get to come here. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying we have the most beautiful area. Ocala is amazing. Don't move here.
Don't move
here. You can move here. And then if anybody's like visiting from out of town, of course, like if you can, go and kayak Silver Springs.
And there are a lot of people coming from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
Like Rainbow, Silver, like if people can be encouraged to the day before,
it's
you can rent kayaks. They'll launch you off. Like
even at Dunellen, at Blue Run.
At Blue Run, at Rainbow, at Silver Springs.
Yeah, and you're only like a mile from all those places.
From the trail.
Because that trail is so long.
It is. That's going to be fucking wild. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
So tell us a little bit about the stats, Joe. What's going on? Where are people coming from?
So I'm waiting for the retrieving your data. This might take a moment. Okay, it's up. So states, we've got California, Colorado, Florida. Obviously, that's going to be the majority of people. We got Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Minnesota, New York, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Washington for the states.
Holy crap.
That's a mixed bag.
So you better tell these people, hey, enjoy this paradise. Go to Tasty O' Donuts. Rent a kayak.
And then we have Denmark and Trinidad and Tobago.
Whoa.
And then you've got some people here locally, but they're from, we've got Lithuania and Czech Republic, if you want to toss them in there.
Wow.
That's cool.
So that's that. People are coming from all over to do this race.
Did you advertise in Czech Republic?
No. But I do have the race on ITRA, International Trail Running Association. Nice. So.
Cool. So, I mean, so people are coming from all over for this race. And there's a couple other interesting stats you told me about. So, like how many people had, like, heard about the race, you know, or the race location, or how many people had actually been to the race location before they had done it?
For the 50-mile, so I asked, have you ever heard of the Cross Florida Greenway? And it's about 50-50 for the 150-mile around people who've actually heard of it. But for the 50-mile, only 27 people have actually been there before. That's like out of 83 people for this data. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and y'all are going to trip on this because he told me this before the meeting. The number of people that this is their first time doing a distance it's just mind-blowing.
For the 50-miler, this will be like 52 people's first time doing 50 miles.
Let's go.
This is my new favorite button. I'm sorry. It's the only button I know. It's the only button I know.
When you do that, now you're supposed to say 2.0.
2.0.
And it's pretty high with the 100-miler, too.
Yeah.
20.
Well, it's a good cutoff length, right?
Yeah. That's a big thing for me is having like the night run, revenge, wild boar. There's no cutoff. Like, I'm permanent there all weekend, so I'll just hang out. And that's a big thing. Like, I won't take down the finish line until those last people finish. And then that's why, like, for this one, having 36 hours, like, just those extra couple hours. Because there's a lot of people who, they're chasing cutoffs. And I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that for people. So that 36 hours really helps a lot of people. And especially with the 50-mile. I mean, the course is open for 36 hours. So you got 36 hours to do 50 miles.
Yeah.
I'm going to need it.
So I have a couple personal friends that are doing it, and Kevin's one of them.
Let's go.
So we have a few friends that are doing their first distance runs out here.
Yeah.
Our friend, and I'm excited for it. I love it.
We've got several. So our friend Susan's doing the 50-miler. It's her first time. Our friend Well, yeah. It's the first time she's finished it, I'm sure.
It'll be the first time she's finished a 50-miler because, I don't know, I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast, but we went up to Wisconsin to do her first 50-miler, and we did not know this, but she had COVID during just completely suffered and had to DNF at mile 42. And she's like, I don't know why I feel so bad. And then, like, she got a call from her husband literally maybe that night. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've got COVID.
Oh, yeah. So she ran the entire race with COVID, not
realizing why. She did 42 miles. And I was like, yeah.
I feel really bad. But
so she's going to absolutely crush this for sure.
Yeah. Let's go, Susan. Yeah.
And then our friend Audrey Zanata, who we run with pretty regularly, this is her first time doing the 100-miler.
And she's fast, too.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. We're looking forward to what she's got to do out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a handful of fast people. The women's field is going to have some fast.
Is it? Runners. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna have fun on our trails. I'm so excited for people to come and see. Yeah, and I say our trails, but it's like, this is our home.
Yeah.
And so just the fact that people are just going to come see our home and be like, oh, these are nice. And like,
this is where we run every weekend.
So many volunteers from Marion County, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had, people really stepped out to help out with this. It's fantastic.
We're going to need all the help we can get. So if you're not doing anything on Saturday.
Yeah, there's still room for
people. 27th, 28th.
Yeah.
Two aid stations. Just two aid stations left that need help.
Yeah.
Okay. They all need help.
Well,
I mean, listen.
Listen, if 50 people show up, it's just a 50-person aid station party.
That's right.
Well, that's how most of the aid stations are.
A party, yeah.
I've got fun lights for all the aid stations.
So oh, I'm yay. Yeah. And if whoever your aid station captains are, make sure to let them know, hey, music is always appreciated tonight.
So logistically, the type of information you're going to share, because this podcast should come out Monday before the race, what kind of information do you want the runners to know coming into this race Friday night into Saturday morning?
Set your expectations super low. Have a great time. Don't worry about pace. Don't worry about just go out there and have a good time. Because for me, that's what a trail race should be.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So you guys are starting in the, like, you guys have a 10th of a mile of paved before you get onto the trail, or how much paved before you get onto the trail?
It's about a quarter mile.
Quarter mile.
Yeah. It's kind of
lets the people separate out.
Parking lot a little, you run through the parking lot a little bit, and then you'll go onto the paved trail, and then eventually right to the Florida Trail.
Yeah. Are we parking at equestrian parking?
Equestrian, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
There'll be signs. Lots of them.
All the signs.
And all the don't park here, don't park here.
Stop parking here right now.
I can tell you that the Greenway staff out there are really excited about this. I actually met the new employee that just started working out there.
Oh, who is it?
And Todd and Bree, who we worked with setting this up, were our points of contact. Bree has since moved on to another job, but they backfilled her position. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the new employee's name. Okay. But I met her at the Run, Ride, Roll relay. and again, there's a lot of excitement, even from the staff there, to see that this group of people are coming in and that there's potential for more races to come into this area.
They've been super supportive.
Yeah. Yay.
That's great.
So I've been wanting to do for years, too, of something on the paved trail. So probably this coming November, a lot of people in our area, they do the Space Coast. So I want to do a supported group run, a 20-mile group run on the paved trail.
Heck yeah.
And at one point I wanted to put together the Brick City Ultra, which was going to be the whole paved thing. Cause Ocala's Brick City, but yeah, instead we're going to do a cool training run on the paved path.
So, for anyone listening, we are trying to grow trail running in the area. Shay's got a few things on her radar. I've been out checking out some trails over the weekends, looking for potential spots for additional races besides the two prairies that I just hosted. And then Joe's got some ideas for some things that he's looking to do in the area. So we are really trying to bring trail running to Ocala.
To the best trails.
You know, and we're actually been in doing some talks, too, about doing some beginner training trail runs too in this area.
So
for people who are interested in getting into trail running, maybe a little nervous, a little scared.
So Where's the Finish podcast might be hosting some group runs to try to introduce people to trail running.
Yes.
So listen, if we don't have trail runners here, we got to make them.
That's right.
And that's part of what we want to do with this podcast anyhow, is to build a community and have a place for people to like-minded in our area can come to for information and to talk about their running experiences.
Good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love with when people come out to the Skunk Ape race. I want it to be like super unprofessionally professional.
Yeah.
You know, like, because we all work 9 to 5. We all have a job that's strict to the rules. I don't want to go to a race on the weekend where it seems like it's some corporate event. Like, I want to go where it's just let loose and fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, there's a bunch of tents. You're going to wander around. You're going to talk to a bunch of people.
Yeah. And you know, I followed that example when I did the Two Prairies. It was just so fun to have everyone as they finished. No one was leaving. Everyone was kind of just sitting up a chair underneath the shade and just hanging out, BS, and drinking a cold beer and having a good time. So, and then cheering for the people as they finished. And that's exactly the kind of feeling I want for my races too.
So, I can't wait, man. I'm so excited for this event. You have no idea. I'm ready to freaking crush it.
I'm stoked. No sleep. Let's go.
So, Joe, are we sold out for Skunk Ape Everything, or do we have any spaces left?
So, you can still sign up and hop on the wait list. I can't guarantee you a shirt, but, I mean, odds are you're probably going to get the shirt you want.
So, 50-mile, I know, was sold out. So, 100-mile sold out now, too?
Technically, yeah. Yep. Because I had to do the shirt order. So, I kind of just closed registration from there, and then now you could just sign up for the wait list, and if that spot opens up, I've got a shirt available.
Gotcha.
You're in.
What do the buckles look like?
I'm excited for the buckle. You guys want a sneak peek?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He posted a picture recently of what the buckles look like.
Yeah.
And
this is before they add all the other
details. So he's showing us a picture on his cell phone, and it is lovely. You guys are going to like this. This is going to be
cool.
a really great buckle. And Joe has spent a lot of money, I know, into the promotional stuff for this race. He's got flags and stickers and just all kinds of stuff, and
can't wait for an ass sticker.
He's got shirts and hats and all the kind of stuff. I mean, with the Skunk Ape 100 on it, and the design is fantastic.
Oh, it's great. It's my favorite.
Yeah, the race director for Jeff Meyer. He does the Osprey. That's the guy that designed the Skunk Ape 100 logo.
That's cool.
Wow,
he did a great job.
It looks super great. Yeah, it does a fantastic job. So. And you know, this race is just going to be fun, and we're excited to have you bring in a race to our local area. And man, I'm just so excited about it.
The buckles are going to be sweet. I'm excited.
I can't wait.
Rainbows and glitter.
Oh my gosh!
Let's go. It's
next year.
Be
next
different.
Year. Next year. Next year. Next year. I'm very mad now.
Rainbows and glitter.
I know, it's
oh my god!
It's going to stand out from all the other metal buckles.
Can I get rainbows and glitter on a T-shirt?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I'm just saying. Can you just like print rainbows and glitter on there? I would love it. I would buy T-shirts for sure.
That would be great. Look at that sparkly, glittery rainbow.
Oh, he is showing us a beautiful rainbow.
Oh, man.
It's all in the rainbow.
Yeah, that was from Bree with Wicked Skins.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. Love her.
There's so much. He's going to have so much fun. He's got a rainbow arch now, and he's got a
50-foot
freaking skunk ape.
19 feet.
It's huge. Huge.
Where are you going to put it?
I don't know yet.
we'll find a good place for it.
I've got 200 feet of extension cord, so
okay.
Where's packet pickup going to be?
I don't know.
So I think we're still landing on that. So
Shay's house.
Yeah.
In her cul-de-sac.
So there is definitely going to be race day pickup. There will be pickup on Friday evening. I think the jury is still out. That information will be coming with Joe's race. Joe is really
good.
Well,
wherever it is, it has to be able to accommodate a 19-foot skunk ape. That's all I'm saying.
I'm thinking it'll probably at the Santos Trailhead.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I know Joe. He sends out a lot of information as he gets. I mean, I start getting like an email a day.
No,
as
trust
we get
me.
Closer.
I did the Tampa. We got a novel. Every 3 days, we got a novel with all the history of everything.
Well, most people don't read email, so I'll just keep spamming your email.
Yeah.
Odds are you're going to read one of those emails.
It was a lot of emails. And then he would have like tiny little nuggets like put in certain places.
Joe is so right about people not reading, because for a year, like 2 years now, I've been signed up for Skunk Ape Events races. And so I asked Joe, you know, this is a thing you learn in government employment in the military. No reason to recreate the wheel. I'm like, Joe, hey, I need a sample of what it looks like for a waiver to put on Ultra Sign Up for my race. And So he sent it to me. And of course, in my wisdom, I knew that I just don't copy and paste anything. I need to make sure I put in my right stuff and, and use his template. And they're very, listen, if you have not read that document,
I didn't read it,
and you have signed up for a Skunk Ape race, please go back and read that disclosure. You've got to read it.
No shrooms, bro. Shrooms are not allowed.
That's fucking funny. I need to read it now.
How about Kava and Kratom? Because there might be a problem there.
Watch out for skunk apes. It's in the waiver.
There are wild animals out there. One of them might be a skunk ape.
If you're listening to this and you hallucinate and you think it's a bear, it's a possibility it might actually be a fucking bear.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
The possibility could be a skunk ape too.
Could be.
So what else? What's on the docket for you next?
We got some big things coming up in June. Then after that, I've got H9, and then back to long haul, baby.
Yeah. So obviously you're going to finish this year because we're going to have great weather, and me and Kevin are running. Yeah, there's running. No way Kevin and I are finishing the long haul, and you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crewing, so.
We're having a little station. You want to set up your little hut with our hut?
Yeah, I'll drop off my lube over there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, good. We'll make sure there's tracking poles for you and everything.
I'm running a no drop operation.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully this is the year.
This is the fucking year.
You're
gonna get that new buckle. You have the old style buckle. You need the new style buckle.
I have it tattooed on my thigh.
I have seen.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've seen your training.
I'd ask to see it, but I don't want to see your junk, bro.
Oh god.
Well, it doesn't hang too low.
Your junk or the tattoo? Never mind.
Does your junk hang low?
Next. Does
it wobble to and fro?
Ugh.
Wow.
I'm too young for that.
So what else do we have going on? Shay, what do you have going on? You got some training coming up.
Oh, yeah. I had a really fun weekend, or Friday, last Friday. I did a really fun event. So I don't know if you guys want to hear the story or not.
Absolutely okay. Want to hear about this.
On Friday, it started out on Wednesday, is that my coach had given me a 5-hour training run. And I'm like, I don't train an hour. So I'm like, Brian, what the hell is this? What does it mean 5 hours? He's like, yeah, just marathon-ish. I was like, okay, thank you. Give me some miles to work with because I don't work in time. My brain doesn't do that. And so, I have I'm going to run marathon-ish, 25-ish miles. That's fine. On Wednesday, one of our police officers, I work for a city, and one of the police officers said, hey, this event is going to be going through our town. Can we get some barricades from Public Works? And I was like, yeah, of course. And can I get more information on this? Can I participate in it? And so he's like, well, no, it's the law enforcement torch run for the Florida Special Olympics. So it's like law enforcement through the county. They run a certain amount of distance. It's the sheriff's office, the local police, the Department of Corrections, all of them. They get together and they run a torch. It was 27 and a half miles through the county. And so I kind of finagled my way into there. So I was the only civilian running it. So, yeah. So that's what I did. And it was awful. Because I talked to one of the guys and he's like, yeah. So it's basically going to be a 12 to 13 minute pace. And I was like, yes.
Mm.
That's my sweet spot. That is that is my speed.
Liars. I'm hearing liars. How many times have I went out on a race and a training run, someone said 12 to 13 minute pace, and it'd be a lie.
It was a lie. It was the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. So.
And at that moment.
It was at this moment that he knew. He fucked up.
Yeah. It was just so bad. So they kind of take off out of the gate. So I was one of the only people running the full thing. There were two other guys that were going to run the whole thing. And I think it was 1 to 3 to 4-ish miles, people would be trading off and, joining the run at different spots. And so they take off out of the gate at an 8:30 pace. And I'm like, that is not my pace. That's my sprinting all out pace. So we're going 8:30s, we're going 9, we're going 9:30s, sometimes we're walking, and then we're back to a 10:30. And it was like that the entire day, except then when we get somewhere, we would stop for 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, they were rotating out fresh cops every 2 or 3 miles.
Cops aren't known for running long distance. They run short, they chase somebody, they tackle them or the dog bites them, and then they're done.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so it was absolutely horrible. Cause I'm, and then like we had other people joining in the relay and they're like huffing and puffing. They're like, I was told we were only doing this pace. I'm like, yeah, me too. And this has been like this all fucking day.
I don't know. I'm looking at Strava here and I'm seeing like a 906. I'm seeing some 10s and 925.
Yeah, you're gross.
You're rocking a 1042 average.
So bad. Yeah. A 1042 average and then like a 1330 elapsed. Because we got to like a Publix at one point and they had like pizzas and this was our one of the big photo ops. Yeah. They were doing a lot of photo ops. Oh my gosh. But it was a really cool event. We went all the way from a Publix in the Villages to the World Equestrian Center. And
how many miles was that?
Like 27 and a half.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was tough because at one point I think I'm like 20 miles in and I look down at my watch and we're doing a 9:30 pace. I'm like, I don't even do a 9:30 pace in real life ever. What is this? And then we're going up like one of the overpasses and we're running up a hill. I'm like, this is not what is done. We don't do this.
Did you tell him?
No, I just fucking put my head down because at one point they said, hey, if you need to be picked up by one of the buses, you can get in. I'm like, no. So I fucking sprinted back up to where the truck was because they had, you know, the whole police officers stopping traffic. So we're driving, we're going down like Highway 441. We're going down big roads, Highway 40. Damn. So we're going down all these huge roads and they're closing off all the roads. So at one point, maybe around like 22-ish, the pack kind of just, I couldn't reach them. There was no reaching them. So I'm like, there's sidewalk here.
Yeah, but they only had like a mile in at that point.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah. So it was something. I eventually, you know, caught back up to him after I fell behind and I finished with everybody, but man, that was not what I had been expecting. And of course my training kind of led, you know, helped me because I knew I can sprint fast. I can run up hills. I can do all this shit, but man, last week of training was rough.
And then what's this week look like?
Oh, my long run this week is 8 hours. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds
I'm going to be in really good shape. I'm going to be in really good shape for Salt and Sea. That's all I can say.
Mm.
But I mean, you know.
Brian loves you.
Yep. He said, he put in my training log. He's like, if you don't dislike me by the end of this week, I'll be surprised or something along those lines. He put that on last week. So last week I had like, for fuck's sake. Last week I had like my first 70 mile week of training, not like with a race included.
Whew. How'd that go?
I was tired. I'm tired now. You can see like the luggage underneath my eyes.
Yeah. I thought it was your glasses were dirty.
So Kevin, your next big race
is Skunk Ape. Yeah. That's
so,
here.
So you ready?
No.
Yeah.
You
got some stupid training going on.
I do. Yeah. Well, I need it because, you know, I've been injured with my shoulder, so I haven't really been able to run. So I finally, this weekend, I was able to do two-hour runs back-to-back, Saturday, Sunday, and I was able to wear my pack the whole time without wanting to cry. Mm. So that was good. I was very happy about that. So hopefully I'll be fine for this week. I got to... I don't even know how many miles, probably 50-ish miles, I would say, for this week. You know, just your normal bullshit, some speed work in here and, you know, some tempo runs here. And then I've got 5 hour on Saturday and then like an 8 mile on Sunday. Mm. So.
Same thing with me. I got a 3 hour run on Saturday and I don't know about these hours. You know,
I know about
how far I can run.
Give me a mile. You
know, but it's hard to plan out a course. For a 3 hour
exactly.
run, like to know, like, you know, what are, you know, unless you're doing like, if you got a 3 hour, like me, you know, hour and a half out, an hour and a half back. I mean,
but that doesn't always jive with the weather.
It doesn't.
Because then like, I know for my run, my 8 hour, I might be done with 8 hours and I might be still 3 miles from home. I don't know.
But I plan on being out at Skunk Ape also. I'm going to camp out there, Thursday night through Tuesday night. So I'll be leaving Wednesday after the race. And my plan is to be Joe's bitch. Just whatever he needs out there, help him out.
Hey, Joe, do you have a camper too, right?
I think we're renting.
What kind? Do you know the name?
I have no idea. It's like the Airbnb for campers.
Anal Airbnb.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is. My parents just went online.
You need to tell them. You need to find out so we can make fun of it.
Yeah, they bring the camper over to you, and they drop it off.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fancy.
So, yeah.
Is there toilet paper in it and everything? Everything's ready to go?
I don't know. We'll find out.
So for the camping out there, I mean, I've had people reach out to me asking about camping.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of camping available in the area. Besides the spots that, you know, Joe posted on his race, there's a couple other.
Yeah, Whimsical Trail is just on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge campground.
Yeah, there's some great campsites around. So I think access to the trail is going to be great for this mm-hmm. race for people.
Yeah.
And also Joe made arrangements for a hotel in Ocala that's yeah. getting great discounts. So,
yeah, that Equus Inn.
Yeah,
Equus
yeah. Inn. Out on Highway 200 right next to the Paddock Mall.
Yeah.
So walking distance to all the restaurants. So if someone was there, they wouldn't have to go very far. And it's probably maybe 15 minutes to the
yeah, that's about right.
to the trail.
15 from Santos, 20 from Ross Prairie, 25 to Pruitt, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds yeah, about right.
It's not bad at all.
So, yeah, you could take off and your crews can go back to bed for a while.
Yeah,
it's a great location.
I love it.
So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then immediately after that, we all have a beer marathon.
Beer
we
marathon do. The week yeah. after.
Because we're yeah. stupid.
You
want to go?
Do you want to go?
You want to go?
You want to go?
What is a beer marathon?
So our friend Verity up in Gainesville, every year she puts on a beer marathon. And it's a tour through Gainesville. And you have a beer at five different stops. So you start at Tipples and you go to, there's several different stops, including like Swamp Head, First Mag, Cypress and Grove, a cider place. And then, yeah, so you run a marathon and drink a beer like every 5 miles.
And Verity is a Skunk Ape Night Run OG year one.
Yeah.
Year one. I love
Verity. She's killing it right now.
Oh, my yeah. God. She's killing it. She did. She just won a Masters Female at Fool's Run.
Yeah.
She did. She got first/second at Painted Horse. She's been just on a tear lately.
She did Yeti 100 not that long ago.
Yeah. She finished Yeti 100.
Yeah, she's moving.
She's
yeah.
doing a lot of stuff.
She's kicking ass.
Heck yeah.
Shout out, Verity.
Heck yeah. And then the day after that, we have a fun 5K.
Yeah, you're going to come do the 5K?
What's 5K?
5K I want you to commit.
The 5K Ultra?
You gotta commit to the 5K.
Just say yes.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
So it's in Land O'Lakes. I believe you've heard of the place. It's called Caliente.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. Dare to Bear. No, thank you. Okay, so here's a great story about Dare to Bear.
He's got a Caliente story.
So I used to work maintenance at Wilderness Lakes Preserve. It's the like HOA community next to Caliente. So after a hurricane, the fence panels came down. And they're like, I saw on the work order. Okay, cool, whatever. You know, slot. You know, get on the ladder, put them in the slots. Well, what I didn't know, that was Caliente on the other side of the fence. So this dude, I'm on a ladder, so I can't go anywhere. I'm in the most vulnerable position because I'm on a ladder. It's not like I could just get into the gator, take off. I'm just on the ladder. This dude, stark naked, this elderly fella, big belly, just. Dare to Bear everything, just dangling around. Just walks up to me. Oh, hey, nice. I'm glad they're fixing that fence. Just starts talking to me. And I don't know what to do. love at first sight, for sure. I had no clue.
You didn't know what to do?
I did not know what to do. I just went, yeah. And then I got in the gator and went to my boss. I'm like, hey, you know what I just saw? And she just gasp. I forgot to tell you. That's Caliente on the other side.
Do you think she actually forgot to tell you, or?
I don't know.
Best prank ever.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Send the new guy out to Caliente.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. We're doing Caliente.
You should come with us. It'll be fun.
I'll take a pass on the Dare to Bear.
We're inviting all of our friends, but only the real friends are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people.
Are you not our real friend, Joe?
I'm not going to go to Dare to Bear.
He doesn't want to see y'all's packages.
Okay.
He doesn't want to become the postman. See every single package around.
I could just see Joe like staring into the sky the entire time.
Just, I'd be one of those.
Like, how you guys doing?
Hey. I'd be one of those clothed people.
Oh, one of them.
You'd stick out like a sword. thing.
Well, maybe a thumb. It could be a sore thumb.
Maybe a thumb. Probably a lot of thumb shapes
probably
around.
A lot of thumbs around there.
Yep.
That's funny. All right. Well, you're going to miss out on a fun time.
Well, I think I'll be okay.
All right. We got anything else going on?
You know, other than, you know, we've got some stuff further out, you know, we're planning. We'll talk about those in future podcasts.
Yeah.
Really excited about what Joe's doing with Skunk Hip Events. I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm glad he's bringing it to our community.
Yeah. We support you like no other. You just know that. Like, yeah, we share all your stuff and talk about it to everybody we know.
Yeah. I'm pumped. I love it.
You're
yeah.
Our homeboy. So I'm looking forward to mentioning your name in lots of other podcasts in the future.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming to talking to us tonight about your stuff, man. You know, you had some great stories. And we're going to get a lot of giggles when people listen to this. Yeah.
Got to get weird. Stay magical.
Yeah.
All right, Shay, you want to take us out?
All right, so go ahead and give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram. Go to our website, wheresthefinishpodcast.com. Rate us on Apple and Spotify and all those fun little places. And
let's go.